13 through 16. The title of the sermon is Bringing Joy to a Pastor's Heart. Wish there was more of us bring joy today, but wow. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Let's stand and read today's reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you this in everything. Thank you. Let's be seated. It's all yours, Pastor.
They don't mean to be unkind, but they can be unkind without trying. They'll end up saying something that kind of slips out of the mouth, and you end up getting a zing, and you weren't expecting to get a zing, and they probably weren't even trying to zing, but they're saying what they actually think. And that happens not infrequently with pastors. People will say something, and you know that they didn't mean to harm you or hurt, but it comes out, and you go, ooh. For instance, there's a pastor who kind of recorded some of the things that people say to him after the service, after he's done preaching. These are some things that people actually said to him. You ready? You always manage to find something to fill up the time. I don't care what they say. I like your sermons. If I had known you were going to be good today, I would have brought a neighbor. Did you know that there are 243 panes of glass in the windows? Last one. We shouldn't make you preach so often. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure they had no idea what a zinger they were zinging, you know. And that's the way that is. And yet, I don't know, maybe I'm off because of my perspective, but the relationship that people have with their pastor is one of the more significant ones. Not the most, obviously, but it's one of the more important ones that they have. And yet, oftentimes, it isn't what it ought to be. And so that raises the question, what are some ways that people, God's people, can encourage a pastor? What are some ways that God's people can be a blessing to their pastor? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning of verse 13, we see the way the church at Corinth was a blessing to Paul and to his helper Titus. And so, if you have your Bibles or your cell phones, I invite you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. It's obviously, it's a little bit of an awkward sermon to preach about how people can encourage me, so to speak. But I think it's the thrust of our text. Paul was encouraged by the church at Corinth, which they weren't always able to do. Well, the first way. We'll just go through them one by one, and hopefully we are encouraged by our time in God's Word. People can be a blessing by being a spiritual blessing. They can be a spiritual blessing. And first and foremost, they can be a spiritual blessing by doing well spiritually themselves. Just to know that they're doing well spiritually is a blessing to the pastor. Notice what he writes in 2 Corinthians 7:13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort. And the word therefore takes us back to where we were last week. And last week we talked about how the church at Corinth repented. They repented after they read Paul's letter, which we refer to as 1 Corinthians. And it helped Paul not to feel regretful for writing the letter. Remember, he wrote some tough things and he wasn't too sure that he should have written it after he wrote it. And you know how that is. But then God used it. They repented. They were filled with joy and peace and comfort. And then Paul says, therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort. When we found out that you were comforted after you repented, that comforted me. To see that you were doing so well spiritually, that you had responded properly. And that's the way it is. Oh, man. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And he says, only let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I'm absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you're in one mind and one spirit serving the Lord. In other words, whether I come and see you or not, what I want to hear is that you folks are getting along well together. That would do so much for my soul to know that you guys are getting along. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. We were comforted, we were encouraged by how well you're doing in the faith. We got reports of it. And I love how he says that in verse 8. Now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. You have trials. People have challenges. God's people have challenges, right? And it's just such an encouragement to see that the person is standing fast in the Lord. They're trusting the Lord. They're holding on to the Lord. They're praying to the Lord. They're in God's word, seeing what he has to say about their situation. That is living to us. And it's true. You know what it's like as a parent. We have mostly parental types here this morning. And, you know, one of the kids will come up and they're going through something. Something has happened in their life. And I'll eventually say, so how are you doing? How are you? I'm doing okay, Pops. I'm going to be fine, Pops. It's kind of interesting. The three boys now, as I get older, they call me Pops. My daughter still calls me Daddy, which I prefer from her, but they call me Pops. But it's a blessing. It's reassuring for me to hear, I'm going to be okay, Pops. I'm doing fine. And it's the same way with the pastor, with his flock, if he loves them at all. It's just good to know that they're doing well. It's a blessing to him. But also, they can be a blessing to others. And when they are being a blessing to one another, that's a blessing to the pastor. Back to our text, verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly, overflowingly, more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Titus went. He was giving you a tough message about me. He wanted to see how you were responding to me and to the letter that I had sent to you, 1 Corinthians. And he got there, and sure enough, you refreshed him. You were an encouragement to him. You blessed him, and he came back. And when he told us that, you were a blessing to me, to hear what a blessing you were to him. And that's the way it works. It's so good when God's people are being a blessing to one another. It blesses the pastor. And I get all kinds of stories here at the Canton Church. And it's really uplifting to know that people are being a blessing to one another behind the scenes. And most of it is behind the scenes, right? Most of it's behind the scenes. Romans chapter 15, verse 32. Paul says, pray that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Paul says, pray that God will allow me to come to see you folks, and that when I do, I will be refreshed by you spiritually, and you will be refreshed by me, and we will mutually refresh one another. Which tells me, a person who's not along as far in the Lord or hasn't been walking with the Lord as long can be a blessing to those who've been walking with the Lord for many years. And that's one of the fun things about talking to young people. Young believers and young people, they can refresh our souls. They don't have to know the Lord as long as we do. It doesn't matter. They can be a blessing just as much as someone who's walked with Jesus for many, many years. Philemon, he was known for refreshing the brethren. What do we know about Philemon? Philemon chapter 7. For we have great joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. We are blessed when we hear about what a blessing and what a refreshment you've been to the soul of others. When we hear about your love, that's what it says here, in your love, how you love God's people, you not only refresh them, but you refresh me when I hear about it. Philemon 20, verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. The context here is, you will refresh my heart if you forgive Onesimus. And isn't it a blessing when you hear that one brother or sister in the Lord has forgiven another one? It's a blessing to the one who's been forgiven. It's a blessing for the one who forgives. It's a blessing for everybody who hears about it, because nobody likes squabbles, right? And so can be a blessing by doing well spiritually oneself and by being a blessing to others. How about this one? Can be a spiritual blessing by being what I've called being true to form. Just by being true to form. Being who you really are. Let's go back to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 14, for if anything I have boasted to you about you. So if anything I have boasted to him about you. I boasted to Titus about you. I told him that when he went to Corinth, you guys have good hearts. You've got a lot of problems, but you have good hearts. And that you were going to be a blessing and refresh him. I told him that up front. Then he went to you. And he says, I'm not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our best boasting to Titus was found to be true. So we told Titus, don't worry, the church of Corinth, they're going to treat you well. They're going to be gracious. That's just who they are. They've got problems. They mess up. They're imperfect. But when you come, they're going to be good to you. Titus comes, and you were exactly as we said you would be. And he came back and he reported that to us. You were true to form. True to form. Just like we said. And that's a blessing. I know sometimes people come to me and they'll ask, you know, do you know anybody who can help me with da 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 da? And it's usually I can't help them because I'm not good at it at all, whatever it is. And not infrequently, I'll know somebody in the church family who can help. And so I said, why don't you talk to such and such a person? They have a lot of experience in this. They've really gone through this, and they've done it very well. And they'll be gracious to you. They won't make you feel dumb for asking the questions. I just encourage you to go. And then a couple weeks later, they'll come back to me and say, yeah, it was exactly what you said. They were a big help, and they were really, really kind and really gracious. And just being true to form. When you hear about that, that is a spiritual blessing. Just did it a couple weeks ago. Yeah, not even a couple weeks ago. So, by being a spiritual blessing, people can bring joy to a pastor's heart. How about another way? Parental types will appreciate this one too. Also, by having a heart of obedience. I call it a heart of obedience, and you'll see why in just a moment. Chapter 7, verse 15. And his affections, that is, Titus's affections, are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all. When Titus thinks about his visit to you and your response and how you obeyed the things I wrote in 1 Corinthians, when he thinks about that, his affections for you escalate. His affections for you increase as he remembers your heart of obedience. Obedience is a wonderful thing, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians, let's just dig a little more deeply into this idea of a heart of obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Go to verse 7. And we're talking about this fella who in 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote, he was having sexual relations with his mother or mother-in-law. And Paul says, you need to discipline him. Don't treat him as a brother. He's not acting like a brother in the Lord. Don't treat him like a brother. And so Paul writes about it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7, say that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. He's repented. It's time to forgive and comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. He needs your love. He needs your affection. He needs your affirmation. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. What does he mean? Sometimes obedience is hard. Sometimes it's a test. This was a test. I mean, think about it. 1 Corinthians, he writes, I want you to not treat him like a brother. I want you to treat him like he's a pagan. That's how he's acting. The fellow repents. And now Paul says, I want you to do a 180. I want you to turn on the love machine. I want you to go from the way you were treating him to overflowing love as you treat him. That's not easy to turn it on and turn it off that fast. This is a test for your obedience. This is a test to see if you're willing to obey me in all things, even when it's difficult. Interesting. That's what he says here. He says, whether you are obedient in all things. In Philippians chapter 2, pretty common text. We may be more familiar with the verse after it, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Wow. Wouldn't you love to be able to say that about your kids? You have always, without fail, obeyed. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You've always obeyed me when I was with you. Now's a chance for you to obey me when I'm separated from you, which is a bigger test. And as you do, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Obedience is ultimately tested and seen when the person is not hovering over us, right? The non-hover principle of obedience. 3 John verse 4. What does John say? I have no greater love than to hear that my children walk in truth. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Nothing brings me greater joy than to hear that my spiritual children are obeying the truth. That gives me more joy than anything else in the world, Paul says. And I call it a heart of obedience because we all got this crazy thing called the flesh. The unredeemed part of us, the part of us that is selfish, and the part of us that is prone to sin, and we've got the flesh as long as we live in this body, so we're never going to be perfectly obedient, right? And so what God is looking for is the heart attitude. I want to obey. It's my desire to please you through obedience. I mean, it's like a little one. Again, you go back to little kids, you know, a 3 or 4 year old. We got our little 3 year old granddaughter is going to be with us for about 11 days here starting tomorrow. And she, you know, she wants to please. She likes to help. And you can see it. You've seen it with kids. Mommy, I'm going to pour the lemonade, Mommy. Let me pour the lemonade. I want to pour the lemonade. And she, before you can say anything, she starts pouring. And she gets maybe about a third of it in the cup. And the rest of it is all over the place. And she was smiling. And she's so happy. And you're like, ah. But that's, there was a heart there to please, right? There was the desire to do something that would bring pleasure and joy to the parent. And that's why God's looking, he's looking for a heart of obedience. He's looking for someone who's going to try, knowing that we're going to spill the lemonade on the table anyhow, right? He knows we're going to do that. But that brings a pastor joy. When a person really, really wants to obey God, what he says, what he wants them to do. It's always nice to attract people who love God's word, isn't it? I like attracting people who love God's word. It makes pastoring fun, and we've got a ton of them around here. By being a spiritual blessing, having a heart of obedience, these things bring joy to a pastor's heart. And number three, this one's probably the most awkward, having a respect for the office of pastor, just having a respect for the office. Again, verse 15. How with fear and trembling you received him. Isn't that interesting? Paul sends Titus, and they receive Titus, Paul's representative, with fear and trembling. They had a tremendous amount of respect for Titus because he was representing Paul, who was representing Almighty God. So isn't it interesting? They saw Titus as Paul's mouthpiece, and they knew that Paul was God's mouthpiece. And if there's anything a pastor should be when he's preaching or teaching, he may not be dynamic, he may not be funny, but hopefully he's God's mouthpiece. Hopefully he accurately says what Jesus himself would say if he were talking about the same theme or passage. And that's kind of a high and a holy calling, and there's respect that goes with that calling. And they were very careful to submit to what Titus had to say because it was coming from Paul. And they were confident that if it came from Paul, it was coming from the Lord as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, speaking of the pastoral types, and who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you, who correct you, that you esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them, consider them very highly in love. Sometimes when we think of respecting a person or reverence is kind of a strong word, but even just respecting someone, it can be kind of a cold thing. You know what I mean? I respect you. And so there's this difference, distance, I should say. Paul says here, esteem them very highly in love. It can be a warm respect. It doesn't have to be a distant respect. Respect them in a spirit of love, if you will. And do it for the work's sake, for the sake of the work. And that will help you to be at peace among yourselves. That will help you to be at peace among yourselves. Isn't that the truth, though? Respecting people who are above us helps us to be at peace among ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, Paul writes, and if Timothy comes, another mouthpiece of Paul's is Timothy, right? If Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. Now, Timothy had a propensity to be afraid. See that he comes, he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Do it for the work of the Lord. He's working for the Lord as I am working for the Lord. So do it for the sake of the work, for the nature of the calling. Not all pastors are equally worthy of respect, right? I mean, just like parents. But it's kind of like, you know, we say that the president of the United States. So some presidents we like more than others, but we try to respect them because of their office, their position, even if we disagree with them on a whole lot of stuff. Even more so, considering what God has called a pastor. I feel respected. I do. Melinda feels that I'm respected here. And it's really a privilege, because to be undermined and maligned really takes a lot of joy out of things. I've been there too, you know. So thank you for respecting the office, the calling of pastor, and thereby bringing joy to my little heart. Let's pray. Father, the relationship between pastors and people, between shepherd and flock, is a precious one. It is an ordained one. It's a unique one, because on the one hand, you're over people. On the other hand, you are serving people, and you are at their mercy, in a sense, Lord God, for a number of things. And yet there's a position also of leadership. So it's leadership and service and servanthood, and it's all underneath your divine guidance and care. And so, Father, we ask that you would continue to protect that precious relationship. I thank you for the people that you've given me here to love, to guide, to encourage, to give input to. And, Father, we just pray that you would allow that dynamic between us to remain healthy, to remain pleasing, to be a relationship that brings joy mutually to both of our hearts. So thanks for this time, Lord. Thank you for the dear folks who braved the weather. I ask that you grant them an extra special divine favor. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.